This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Dr. Christine Murray. And Christine works at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She has served as the director of the Center for Youth, Family, and Community Partnerships and is also a professor in the UNCG Department of Counseling and Educational Development. She currently directs the Healthy Relationships Initiative and is the co-founder of the See the Triumph campaign and recently launched a new resource for survivors of abuse and the community supports around them. And today, Christine and I talk about what it means to be in a healthy relationship. What exactly is a healthy relationship and what is an abusive relationship and everything in between? Christine talks about the spectrum of relationships, and I really enjoyed this conversation. I think it's really important to understand and listen to these kind of conversations because a lot of times if you're in a toxic or unhealthy relationship, you don't know it, or you've just grown to accept it, or because of attachment wounds, you just stay, even though you know it's not good for you. So I think this conversation is so valuable, maybe for you listening, or maybe you have a friend or family member who needs to hear it to help them realize that they're really in a situation that is not good for them. And, you know, we're all doing the best we can and relationships are complicated. It's really the most important thing in our life is our romantic relationship, a relationship with friends and family. And this conversation with Christine applies to all of those. And if we are in relationships that are not serving us, we need to have an objective look at that. And a lot of times that's hard. So I think the work that Christine is doing in conversations like this can help people kind of go, oh, you know what? Maybe I need to take a harder look at this and figure out the steps I need to take to either address these issues or exit the relationship or in everything in between. So Christine gives all the tools and tips to be able to do that. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you are having a beautiful start to your 2024. It's a beautiful year. For some reason, I'm really attracted to even numbers. I don't know if any of you listeners, I've had a friend tell me that's a bit odd. No pun intended, but I do like even numbers. They feel good. They feel more whole to me. So 2024, nice even year for us. This is a good way to start it, tuning in to the Relationship Advice Podcast. So thank you guys. Have a beautiful rest of your day, evening, night, and enjoy the show. Hi, Christine. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for this opportunity, Chase. I've listened to your podcast and really appreciate the thoughtful conversations that you have. So I've been looking forward to talking with you today.
Well, thank you. And today's conversation is an important one and one I'm excited to have with you. And we're going to talk about domestic abuse and verbal abuse and physical abuse in a relationship and what it means to be in a healthy relationship. So I think a good place for us to start would be having you share with our listeners what a healthy relationship looks like. And you mentioned in the pre-show that you actually talk about a continuum of relationships. So maybe you could walk us through that and then we'll go from there.
Sure. That's a great starting question. So for many years, my main focus was on abusive relationships, but back in 2015 and the initiative launched in 2017, we began partnering with a local family foundation here in Greensboro, North Carolina, the Phillips Foundation. to develop a more upstream preventive initiative called the Healthy Relationships Initiative. You can find it online at healthyrelationshipsinitiative.org. But through that initiative, we have worked to what we call promote happy, healthy, safe relationships of all kinds. And in fact, part of the 2-year planning process that went into planning for the Healthy Relationships Initiative before we launched it in 2017 was working with a group of community stakeholders and different experts to identify a kind of universal definition of healthy relationships. Chase, especially since you talk a lot about relationships, I'm sure if I asked you to describe a healthy relationship, you'd probably have one way to describe that. That may or may not have some similarities with what I would think. And then, of course, everybody has sort of an idea in their mind of what that looks like. But one of the things that surprised me was just how complicated it was trying to come up with a definition of healthy relationships that could potentially universally apply. So through the Healthy Relationships Initiative, we are really talking about all kinds of relationships. So we're talking about couple, romantic relationships, families, friends, workplaces, friendships, even relationships with your neighbors or, you know, that random person that you see out in the community in different settings like the grocery store, or the coffee shop. So, and then the other challenging part of it in terms of thinking of defining healthy relationships in a way that could resonate with everybody is that, of course, I think one of the big factors that comes into some of the differences between how you and I and many other people might define healthy relationships is cultural differences or community differences, and people's different backgrounds and values are going to come into that. So we worked for a long time with a group of community partners and experts to develop our definition. And as you mentioned, that is what we've called the happy, healthy, safe continuum for relationships. So if you go to our website and just click on the About Us, you can kind of get a visual, but it's basically, we use sort of a pyramid to visualize this happy, healthy, safe continuum. And so safety is the foundation. It's at the bottom. And then healthy is the next level. And then happy is sort of the top level. And so when we think about healthy relationships, I think, in my opinion, it's better to think about it as more of a spectrum or sort of a continuum versus healthy as yes or no. And in truth, people can have different levels of relationship quality in different areas of their lives. And even the same relationship can go through different phases. So you might be in a relationship that starts out healthy, that then seems very happy, but then maybe there's some things that come up that make the relationship to not be safe. And I think the other reason why we found this continuum to be very helpful is because the same person could have relationships at different levels of quality in different areas of their lives. So you could have a very happy couple romantic relationship. You could have a healthy relationship with your family, your extended family, but maybe at work, you're in a toxic work environment. So it's just a quick kind of checklist almost, or a quick kind of snapshot way to think about the quality of your relationships. I know I've personally found it helpful to evaluate maybe some of the distress that I've had in different relationships. So I'll briefly go through some of the definitions of each of those levels, happy, healthy, and safe. And then I'm going to pause because you'll probably have some questions and I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well. So as I mentioned, at the bottom level or sort of the foundational level is safe relationships. And so safe relationships mean that the relationship has to be free from abuse, from neglect, any other ways that a person's physical, emotional, mental well-being is at risk. So we need to have safety in our relationships to be able to even consider the potential of having a healthy relationship. Then when we do move up to that level of healthy relationships, that's where we have common sort of universally recognized aspects of a healthy relationship in general. So things like being respectful, having trust, the people are accepting of each other. Here's where we have healthy relationship skills like positive communication, conflict management. And now one of the things too that I'll add about healthy relationships is that it is okay to have those differences. And so an example that might help would be that there are some people who maybe based on religious values would view a healthy relationship as having more traditional gender norms, Whereas other people might view a healthy, intimate relationship as being more egalitarian. So as long as there are those other elements there, there's some freedom for people to kind of put their own unique spin and some of their values into that relationship definition. Now, I'll also add that we always sort of have to contextualize that healthy does not mean perfect. And so sometimes we'll ask people, well, how healthy is your relationship? Or can you think of people in your life that have a healthy relationship? And a lot of times people struggle with that because relationships are hard and complicated and conflict's a natural part of relationships. So we like to say healthy relationships are not perfect, that there's room for conflict. And in fact, in healthy relationships, people do experience conflict, but it's an opportunity for growth. And then just briefly moving to the top of the continuum, the happy relationships. This is really, you can think about this as sort of the peak or optimal functioning in a relationship. So this is where you have relationships in your life, where you derive a lot of meaning from them, where you feel a sense of belonging, that you feel truly cared for, very joy-filled. Maybe there's a lot of happiness and play in those relationships. And I think the happy level of the continuum is what we all strive for. It can be difficult to sustain. I can't think of anybody that's, you know, anybody in any kind of relationship that might be in that happy peak relationship functioning all the time, because the real world is complicated and relationships are complicated. But I think that we are all kind of striving for this in different areas of our lives.
Thank you, Christine, for that overview. It's really valuable. And I want to go through this continuum. And let's start with safety. And you mentioned abuse. And to me, physical abuse is very, I want to say very, but I may be making some wrong assumptions, but it's easy to define, you know, that's physical touch. But verbal and psychological abuse to me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, are a little bit harder and people may not recognize them. So can you talk specifically about those kinds of abuse and how to recognize if that's occurring in your relationship? And then we'll talk about dealing with it.
Sure. Great question. So yes, so there are many different forms of abuse that can happen in relationships. And again, here we sort of have relationships of all kinds. Much of my focus, as I mentioned earlier, has been on domestic violence and abuse that happens in intimate romantic relationships. But of course, you can have abuse in families and parenting relationships, elder abuse, even again, you could have an abusive situation in the workplace too. So, but you're right. I think that physical violence is what often comes to mind most often when people think about an abusive relationship or the term domestic violence. But as you mentioned, there are many different other forms of abuse that could happen. So like you said, there's emotional abuse, verbal abuse. We could also talk about things like financial abuse. There's educational and career-related abuse that can happen. So there's lots of different layers to it. And I think that the best way to break down a kind of common definition of domestic violence is to sort of take a step back from the specific tactics that an abuser is using, whether that's physical violence, verbal attacks, emotional manipulation. If we can take a step back from the exact behaviors that the abuser is using, we can look at the power and control dynamics that underlie abusive relationships. So sort of across the different types or categories of abusive behaviors or abusive strategies, an abusive relationship at its core is about power and control. And so this means that the person that is perpetrating the abuse is using whatever those tactics are, whether it's physical violence or aggression or verbal attacks, they're using those tactics to either gain or maintain power and control over whether it's their partner, their coworker, their child, their elderly parent. So we have to really look at those dynamics of the power and control. And so I think that that does lead really well into the second part of your question around how can we recognize an abusive relationship, whether it's one that we are in ourselves or potentially starting to wonder if there's some red flags, Or a lot of times people, because they know that I do this work, will come to me and they'll say, you know, I'm a friend of mine, or my daughter, my sister, my coworker, a student, you know, there's sort of all different variations of it. And they're concerned about the safety of the relationship. And I think that what's most helpful is to really look at, okay, is there an ongoing pattern of power and control that's happening in that relationship? Because again, all relationships are going to have challenges. All relationships will have conflicts. Truth is, we all are going to say things and do things, you know, potentially at a given time that are hurtful. And if you look at a specific behavior in context, it's hard to look at one specific behavior, unless, like you mentioned, obviously, if somebody is physically violent towards somebody else, that's pretty clear cut. But what we do need to look at is really that pattern. Is there a pattern of one person trying to dominate or have control over the other person? So on the flip side, in a healthy relationship, people should feel safe. They should feel free to express themselves. Of course, they should always be considerate of another person's feelings. So, you know, it doesn't mean just, you know, you should feel free to speak your mind and say anything's on your mind, whether it's like a healthy, positive comment or not. But if you have a concern, you should be able to bring that to the other person and express that and not feel unsafe to do so.
I think that's a good sort of litmus test for someone listening, is not necessarily, like you said, having to define the type of abuse, or obviously that can be important to dive into, but to ask yourself, how do I feel if I bring up an issue with my partner? Am I scared of their reaction? And it doesn't have to be physically, and we don't have to get stuck on, is it abuse? Is it not? Because this is a relationship advice podcast, and we can just talk in generalities too. Like if your partner always has a snarky comment, or they shoot you down when you bring something up, it may not necessarily be abuse, but it's not healthy. It's not good for you individually. It's not a healthy relationship, what we want to work towards in that continuum, what we were talking about, and certainly not a happy relationship. So what would you tell someone, you know, rather than us going to the extreme of physical violence? Obviously, we want to help those people listening. But let's say someone's listening and they're like, yeah, you know, I am a bit afraid to bring things up with my partner because they kind of shoot it down, or they're sarcastic, or they're mean about it. How can they address that with their partner? And what are some steps to healing and working towards a happier, healthy relationship?
Well, I love that you asked this question, because I think that, again, this is where we can look at this happy, healthy, safe sort of continuum. It sounds really, really simple at the surface, but when you're actually trying to figure out a relationship in your own life that something doesn't feel quite right, it is really challenging. Because like you said, a lot of times, it's somewhere when something doesn't feel right, it may not be abuse. It could be a sign of a potential abuse, but maybe the abuse hasn't kind of shown up yet. But I think people really should listen to that feeling. And even kind of that's where, since we developed this happy, healthy, safe continuum, I can't tell you how often I use it in my own personal life when I'm kind of trying to figure out a challenge in a relationship in my life. And I will tell you, I have kind of thought about all different kinds of relationships with this, like workplace relationships, friendships, family, romantic. And so, you know, kind of think about, okay, where are we here? And just because something isn't abusive, as you're saying, doesn't necessarily mean that it's like a healthy, positive relationship to stay in, you know, but sometimes that's difficult to discern. So a few specific maybe strategies or tips, I guess, that people could keep in mind. So first of all, it is really important to take things slowly in evaluating any relationship. One of the things that I say a lot when I'm doing education about violence and abuse is that oftentimes healthy and abusive relationships actually look the same in the beginning. So in general, you know, you aren't going to have somebody that's going to go on a first date. And I'm going to talk specifically a little bit about couple relationships, but I think this could apply to other contexts like a friendship or say a workplace that is, you know, sort of behind the scenes abusive or toxic. But of course, they're not going to show you that in the job interview or probably on your first day on the job. But let's talk kind of for, as an example for couples. So generally speaking, you go on the first date and almost never can I imagine that an abuser is going to hit their partner on the first date or be extremely, you know, insulting or critical. And if they did do that, most likely, you know, most all of us probably if somebody that blatantly in the very beginning was showed that open sign of abuse, probably we would all run, you know, but what happens is abusers present as nice partners often in the beginning. And so, and in fact, sometimes you've probably heard the term through some of your conversations and it's become much more widely talked about in just general media, but the term of love bombing. And so this is almost those over the top gestures. You know, you go on the date and there's flowers and it's a, you know, just compliments and constant texting, sending things, you know, just a real excessive almost show of affection. But in truth, you know, maybe to some degree in a healthy relationship that can happen too. So that's why I think moving slowly when you're getting to know somebody is so important. Getting to know somebody or some relational context, like I said, at work, because people in general are going to put on their best front early on. And so it takes time before and seeing somebody across a lot of different situations before you start to see that. Now, the challenge is that if a relationship does become abusive or the signs of abuse might start to show up, a lot of times by that point, feelings have developed and that's where it becomes really, really complicated. So I have a few other thoughts, but I thought I'd stop there. Is there anything else on that piece in terms of kind of moving slowly and just this idea that healthy and abusive relationships often look very much the same on the first encounter?
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, everyone is showing their best selves in the beginning. Let's zero in on the early warning signs of, you know, someone who may be abusive, and that way we can recognize them and then what steps to take. Because like you said, it does get complicated when there's feelings involved and you want to go, oh, well, maybe they didn't really mean to do that. Or maybe that's just when they're angry and that's not their best self. And talk about kind of what goes on when those things do start to show themselves and what kind of policy that we should have. I know every situation is different, but to me, obviously, if there's physical violence and the first time that happens, it's like, that's just unacceptable. And can you or should you even talk to that partner and be like, hey, how can we work through this? Or is it like, hey, I'm out of here? I know that's an extreme and there's every situation is different, but how do you tell people to navigate that, those first signs of abuse?
Well, and I will say one of the things, I'll kind of go back to that, those first signs. But since you mentioned you could have a policy, a personal sort of policy or commitment to yourself to say, I will not tolerate physical abuse in my relationships. You'd be surprised how many survivors, not all of them, but of course, or probably not even, I would say, a vast majority, but in the research that I've done with different collaborators over the years, we've done a whole social media campaign around it called the See the Triumph campaign, where we've interviewed and surveyed many, many survivors of past abuse. And through those experiences, that you'd be surprised how many people say that the physical violence didn't happen until after, say, they were married or some really deep commitment was made. So even having sort of a policy like that can be really complicated, because what if you are married or you do have a child? You know, that can really complicate things. So I do think, again, kind of going back to the signs, that's why it's really important to look for those signs. And a relationship may never turn to be physically abuses, like you mentioned earlier, and that doesn't mean that it's not abusive. So it could be emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, and maybe it never turns into a physically abusive relationship. On the other hand, I do think that a relationship that is physically violent almost all the time would start with emotional abuse. So it is really important to be alert for those signs. So some of the things, very concretely, that I would suggest people be on the lookout for would be isolation is a big one. So if the person seems to be trying to keep you away from your friends and family members, or maybe kind of turning you against them, like, oh, I can't believe your friends said that to you, or they don't like your friends, or they feel disrespected by your friends, which all of these things could happen. But again, if you're seeing like a real pattern of isolation, or you notice that yourself are kind of pulling back from the relationship. And, you know, that can happen in healthy relationships too, where you have a new relationship, you get excited about it and you pull away from other relationships. But I think if you see, especially that a partner is either intentionally trying to isolate you or is kind of fostering that isolation by kind of allowing you to get really swept up in the relationship and pull away from other friends, I think that that is something to be on the lookout for. I think another big one would be, does somebody take accountability if they have done something hurtful? So if you do present a concern to them and say, hey, this thing hurt my feelings, or I was upset that you said you were going to call me at such and such a time, but you didn't call. Do they not only deny it, but do they almost like blame you? Or this is where you could even see like the gaslighting almost come in. And gaslighting is basically where somebody kind of tries to convince you that you're crazy or that you're not thinking straight about the situation. So they might've told you, I will call you at 6 o'clock or I'll call you sometime tomorrow evening. And then they don't do it. And you know that they said it. But then when you ask them about it, you say, well, it hurt my feelings that I thought you were calling me, but you didn't. They might turn around and say, I never said that. You know, so it's like kind of they're not maybe acknowledging the reality of the situation and accepting their responsibility. They could say, I'm sorry, I'm sure that was hurtful and I'm going to work on following through more when I make those commitments. So looking for the accountability is really a huge one. I think the sincerity of words and actions matching is another big one, because it's relatively easy to say, I'm so sorry I did that. But if somebody does something hurtful, says that they're sorry, and then they turn around and continue to do it, or they're not really making the effort to address the thing that was hurtful, that would be something else that would be concerning. One of the resources we developed a while back through the See the Triumph campaign, I don't have ready access to the link right now, but I could share that with you at some point if that would be helpful. But I think it's a visual image that is helpful to keep in mind, is kind of not just red flags, but it was sort of a stoplight, you know, red flags, red light, yellow light, green light. And so some of those really serious things like putting you down, calling you names, isolating you, cutting you off from your friends and family, that's a pretty big red light. You know, that you may not cut the relationship off at that moment, but you should definitely be really cautious, because those are pretty significant concerns or underlying dynamics of an abusive relationship. Say there's yellow light as well. You know, that's where it's kind of like on the fence. Maybe it doesn't sit quite right. It's not totally clear that this person was out to hurt you, but it just didn't sit right. And I think we need to pay attention to those and address those and look at how does the other person respond when you bring that up. And then, of course, there's the green lights too. And that's where we're really looking for those signs of a healthy relationship. And is someone showing you respect? Are they showing you trustworthiness? Do they call when they say they will? If they make a mistake or they do or say something that's potentially hurtful, to me, a green light would be they acknowledge it themselves. You know, maybe they say something and then as soon as they say it, they're like, oh gosh, that was hurtful. I'm really sorry. I wish I hadn't said it that way. Well, to me, that's a bit of a green light, because people, and I might still be concerned depending on what that person said. But I think we need to be looking for those signs, especially early on, because it does take time to get to know somebody and to really assess a situation. And so I think in terms of steps to take too, having ongoing reflection of a relationship. And so if you're having ongoing reflection about that relationship and sort of looking at these signs, you know, kind of checking in with yourself in those relationships, and kind of after you encounter a situation with whether it's your partner or somebody in the workplace. And if you have that feeling in your gut, to take some time to reflect on it. I do think it's helpful. I remember one time, I wish I could remember who the person was. It was at a presentation I did probably almost 10 years ago, a training on domestic violence. And there was a guy who spoke up later in the day, and he said he thinks that if you're dating, you should have a committee of people that you know and trust and will be honest. And I think I love that idea. I thought it was such a practical and creative idea. A little silly, I guess. Maybe I've been in academia for a long time, so of course, you know, professors love committees. So I don't know if that's why that idea resonated so much with me. But when you're getting to know somebody in a relationship, and I would say the same could be true. Like if you just got a new job and you're excited about it, you're going to want to look for the best of it. So your feelings or your sort of hopes for that relationship are probably going to cloud your opinion a little bit. So having people in your life that you have specifically said, I want you to be honest with me. And I'll give a concrete example and then I'll pause because I know I can talk a lot about these kind of things. But I'm public about the fact that I have been in an abusive relationship before. I'm a survivor of a past abusive relationship. And I will tell you, when that relationship ended, I was really embarrassed, I guess, to kind of tell people for different reasons. But I can't tell you how many people said, I never liked that person anyway. And I thought, boy, I wish you would have told me this, you know, earlier, but I think they didn't think I would listen or something. And so, you know, I think it is people who are kind of, they care about you, but they are a little bit more objective about the situation can really help you to make those decisions. And it could be personal, whether it's a committee. I mean, that's kind of just, I think it's sort of a clever way to think about it. But it also could be, obviously, I'm a mental health professional, a licensed clinical mental health counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist. I think counseling is invaluable. So train professionals, but also especially if you have close friends and family members and you've got that supportive relationship and you can just say to them, hey, I'm going to be dating or, you know, I'm looking for new jobs or help me just be honest with me, you know, if you have feelings or concerns about the relationships, because people are often very hesitant to say something because unfortunately, even in today's day and age, people still think of domestic violence as an abusive relationships as sort of like a private matter that they don't want to get involved in.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100.
It's so complicated and fraught with nuance because obviously there's clear cases of abuse, but there are instances where it's like, what do we tolerate? And this is, it's such a broader ongoing conversation, but to really be honest with ourselves, I think is so important. Having a committee, like you said, in understanding our attachment wounds, because I imagine I haven't been in an abusive relationship, but I've been in a relationship that was unhealthy, and there was really unhealthy patterns that I recognized, I would say early, but then I noticed in myself and I stayed, and there was love between us, and it wasn't all bad, but it was this idea that, oh, well, maybe they'll change, or, oh, you know, we'll work through that. And ultimately, we can't predict the future, but there is a point where we need to have, you know, an objective view, and going to counseling, seeing a therapist, having that committee is so valuable, in addition to understanding ourselves and having the courage to institute boundaries and to go, you know what? I'm not going to allow my partner to be verbally abusive to me. And we definitely want to have the tools to communicate, hey, when you talk to me that way, it's very hurtful. And I want to let you know how I feel. And if they respond, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And they're genuine. And then the behavior changes, then great. And then we can move forward. But if they gaslight you, or as you mentioned, are not taking ownership, then that's a huge red flag that I think we could say you either need to take a serious look. And again, if it's the first time, maybe it's not the time to really leave the relationship. If it's, let's say they say something mean, people will do that. But really trying to pull back and understand these things for ourselves, and just this broader idea of like, what we, I don't want to say deserve, but like, yeah, what everyone deserves to be in a loving, kind relationship. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be loving and kind. You know, when I'm angry, I'm not my best self, and I can say things that I'm not proud of. But I like to think that if I then understand and have some distance from that, then I'm able to go, oh, you know what? And apologize. And I think that's the key. And you mentioned it earlier, to understand that no relationship is perfect, but also to understand that if it's a pattern of imperfection, of constant, you know, gaslighting, manipulation, name calling, you name it, obviously physical abuse, then we really need to pull back. And I know, you know, through your work that it's so hard for people to leave too. And because of our attachment wounds, because of the fear of the unknown, because we might say, well, no one else can love us. Understanding all those things about ourselves is so powerful, because I think it can give us the perspective to go, okay, you know what? Even though I got these chemicals that are telling me to stay because the dopamine rush of the sex, whatever it is, I'm not going to repeat that pattern because I do deserve to be in a loving relationship that's got this foundation of kindness and respect. And people will mess up, but it's just so important, the work that you're doing, and that people really recognize where they're at and try to be objective and not stay in these toxic patterns?
Well, thank you for sharing your own personal experiences, Chase. I think that is really important for people to hear it, and that people appreciate knowing that even people who talk about these things, you know, have challenges too. One thing that came to my mind, I'm sure you've talked about this in other conversations, or I would imagine you've talked about this in other conversations you've had on this podcast, as a way to gauge if you're in that situation where you're just trying to figure it out, for somebody who might be in that situation. The research of Dr. John Gottman, he's one of the most widely cited marriage researchers. And I think a really helpful, practical takeaway from his research is the 5-to-1 ratio. And that's there in healthy relationships in general, there's 5 positive interactions for, and one, or I guess there's 1 negative for every 5 positive interactions. And so, you know, I think that's helpful because first of all, it says no relationship is going to be perfect and just, you know, all the time filled with joy and happiness and no stress. And in fact, I think if people feel like we never fight, there's no issues at all, there's probably underlying issues that they're just not addressing. So that can be unhealthy too. But I think that 5-to-1, of course, there's going to be different times. But if you find yourself, you know, really feeling bad, and I'm not just talking about you, I'm kind of sort of talking to the audience in general here. But if somebody finds themselves feeling bad, like 75% of the time over the course of a month or 3 months or 6 months or whatever, it's hard to talk about this, because obviously if you've been in a relationship for 20 years, you know, then you probably need a little bit longer of a time frame to evaluate it. But I think that 5-to-1 ratio, and just thinking about sort of generally, you would want to feel healthy and good like most of the time. And if you do start to see these signs or any really glaring issues, I'm so glad you brought up as well, though, the piece about attachment issues and insight about that. One of the challenges, I think, for a lot of people, whether it's before entering into a relationship or even in the relationship while they're navigating that, is just the courage it takes to be alone and ending a relationship. You know, I think that it's really, really hard when you do have feelings for somebody. Maybe there are positive aspects of that relationship. Maybe you kind of know that it's not right for you, but it's scary and it's uncomfortable to go into a season of being on your own when you're used to being in a relationship. But I think whether people are in a relationship currently, or especially I think if you are out of a relationship or you're hoping to find a relationship, it is important to spend some time thinking about what is non-negotiable for you in that relationship. Or if not non-negotiable, kind of thinking about the overall picture of the relationship that you want to have and the values that you want to share with your partner, and keep that readily available in your mind. It could be a note in your phone. It could be a journal, you know, that you keep and you write in, and you just sort of have that and you can checkpoint on that. Because, you know, if we say, I want to be respected, I want a partner who has good communication and conflict, you know, resolution skills, I want somebody who's on the same page as me with my spiritual values, or whatever, you know, whatever it may be, thinking objectively about those criteria outside of a particular person, I think helps us have some of that objectivity in general as well, too. So I think that that reflection is just so important, whether it's on your own or with other people, too. But I agree with you. I think I always kind of think when we're talking about these healthy relationship skills, it just sounds so easy. It's like, it's not rocket science, you know, I don't think it sounds all that complicated. But the challenge is when we're applying it in real life, because you can't control another person, right? The only person you can really, you can try to influence other people. But you, and maybe in a workplace, if you're like the boss, you can, you know, have some degree of control. But even then, you know, people should have freedom to leave a job if they don't want to. But you know, we can't control other people and what they do and how they act. And so in the real world, these relationships are really, really tricky. And so I do think that's why it's so important to, for people to listen to conversations like the ones that you have, so that they're educating themselves about their, about relationships and thinking about what they want to want in their relationships. And then also having those opportunities to reflect on that.
Well, thank you, Christine, for that. And I think that's a beautiful place to wrap up. And yeah, there's always things to work on and consider and dive into. But I think it really starts with these conversations and understanding yourself, like you said. And that's a huge one I want to emphasize, is being okay being alone. Because a lot of times I feel like that's what allows us to settle for something that we know is not good for us, because that's kind of the fear of the unknown or fear of being alone, or I'll never find someone. And it's like, if we're okay with ourselves in that relationship, which is the most important one, it makes us more resilient and stronger and better able to institute our boundaries and to recognize something that's unhealthy and to leave it and feel good about it. So that's really our work, and it's ongoing. It's throughout our life, and even in relationship, even in a healthy relationship, we need to be okay with ourselves. That's what makes a healthy relationship, right? So thank you for the work that you do, Christine, for coming on, sharing this information with myself and our listeners. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, and if there's anything you want to leave them with or emphasize before we say goodbye?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for this conversation as well. I've really enjoyed it and have learned a lot from your insights as well. The best place to connect with and learn more about my work is christinemurray.info, and that's got links to the different programs and initiatives that I mentioned, like See the Triumph and the Healthy Relationships Initiative. And I'm also gearing up to launch a new online resource in February of 2024, which is called The Source for Survivors. And so the website for that will be sourceforsurvivors.info. And I'm really getting excited about that, because I think that I hope that it'll be a valuable tool for survivors and people who want to support survivors in the long-term healing journey. And in terms of just a takeaway, I just think maybe to kind of go back to that happy, healthy, safe continuum, whether you go look at the website or not, I would just encourage everybody to kind of lock that away in their brain, in the back of their mind somewhere, for that, you know, for those moments when you're maybe evaluating a relationship and striving, of course, for those healthy and happy relationships, and also just being open and alert and taking action if you do notice that your relationships are sliding into that unhealthy or even unsafe category or spectrum, point on the spectrum, I guess I should say. Like I said, it's not a category, but that end of the continuum, to be proactive about it, because as you know, the quality of our relationships is so tied with the quality of our lives and our mental health. And so if we are experiencing unhealthy or unsafe relationships, it's really important to do something about it for our own well-being.
It is. And again, thank you for the work that you're doing and for sharing this information so that people can understand that for themselves and live a better life. Because yeah, ultimately that's the quality of our life, is the relationships, not just romantic, with friends, family, and ourselves. So we will have the links that you shared in our show notes and on our website. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Sure. Thank you again.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.